My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection from the dead. Welcome to our study of the books of 1 and 2 Peter. Peter is an interesting and very unique individual in the New Testament. He is always impulsive and impetuous as we see him. For example, when Jesus walks on the water, Peter's the go-getter who says, "Lord, bid me to come to you." He gets out there, but you remember he begins to sink. Peter's the one who, when Jesus says, "All of you are going to forsake me," he says, "Not I, Lord, I'll die with you." Jesus said, "Oh yeah? Three times the rooster will crow and you'll deny me." Peter was one who was a go-getter, but Peter was one who needed to grow and progress in his faith. He needed to be reminded of certain truths that he had not yet grown in. And thus, 1 and 2 Peter, Peter writes about final reminders, things that we need to always keep close to our heart and remember. Well, what are those reminders that Peter wants us to know about, that God wants Christians to keep close to their heart to live faithful to Him? First of all, we need to realize that Christians have a living hope. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter reminds us, God reminds us, that our hope is not a dead hope, not a hope in something past, but a hope that is live and a hope that is based off of the future. Friend, what is it that when we face trial, when we face temptation, when we feel like giving up that keeps us going? We have a living hope. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 18, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." It's what holds us down, keeps us firm and steadfast in the midst of tribulation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 talks about the hope of glory. There's the hope we have. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, "We're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." I have the hope, Titus 1 verse 2, of one day living with God in heaven. And so I'm living in that hope in the here and now. But you notice chapter 1 verse 3 of 1 Peter says it's through the resurrection from the dead. Friend, were there no resurrection, we would not have a living hope. We would have no hope. The very fact that Jesus rose from the grave is the hope that Christians have. In fact, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that were it not for the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, our hope would be in vain. And yet we do have that wonderful hope. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus expressed this hope when He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me," Jesus said, "though he may die, he'll never really die." What's the hope we have? We have the hope in the here and now that if we live faithful to God, we'll receive the crown of life. And so this life is not all there is. When we get down, when we get discouraged, remember, if we'll remain faithful here in this life, we've got that hope of eternal glory with God. Now, what else does Peter want us to remember? He wants us to remember our hope. But He also wants us to remember we have a heavenly inheritance. Notice chapter 1, verse 4 of the book of Peter says this. We have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You've got an inheritance. Wouldn't it be great to wake up one day to the knock on the door and you've been found out to be some heir of a millionaire or some heir of someone who had all these wonderful things in life? Friend, when we're a child of God, we have something far better than that. You are an heir of all that heaven has to offer. Imagine the wonder and the splendor of that. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says our citizenship is not on this earth, it's in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body into His glorious body. We're not citizens here. We're true citizens in heaven itself. We've got a reservation. Can you imagine that idea? When I obey the gospel, when I become a Christian, I have a grand reservation awaiting me in heaven. You know, if you go on a journey and you go to a motel, the wonderful thing about making plans ahead of time is when you get to that motel, you go up to the desk and you say your name and it's right there on the roll. You've got a room waiting for you. Friend, that's what our heavenly inheritance is like. If we've obeyed the gospel, if we've been faithful, our names are written in the book of life, Revelation 3, 4, and 5, and if we endure to the end, our name is on that grand roll in heaven itself, and we have that inheritance. Jesus talked about it. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling. Were it not so, I would have told you. We have a reservation in that heavenly dwelling that God has made for His children. Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus said, the righteous will go away into eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 and 2, if this tent, our earthly body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Don't you want to go? Friend, don't you want to go to heaven? You've got to constantly remind yourself that heaven is going to be worth whatever we have to endure. Romans 8, verse 18, Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of this present world, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall one day be revealed in us. It doesn't matter what I face, what trials come into life, let's keep focused on heaven. That's what Peter reminds us of. A third reminder that Peter gives us is that we need to stay faithful because of the wonder of salvation that God has given to each one of us. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now notice, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would to come. Notice, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets searched and inquired of. It was something they wanted to know. God's been working toward that from eternity. And friend, listen, we have that salvation if we've obeyed the gospel. And so what's a reminder? I need to remind myself every day, you are a child of God. You have been saved, you can currently be saved, and you will be saved in heaven if you remain faithful. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 25, this is the promise He has promised us, eternal life. Now friend, to really appreciate salvation, you've got to go back a little bit and think about the despair of sin and the state you were in before. Romans 3:23, the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages, the salary of that sin is death. Our sins have separated us from God. Isaiah 59:1-2, and as the psalmist said in Psalm 38, verses 4 and 5, my sins have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me to bear. And so, when you think about salvation and the wonder of it, think about where you were. All of us have been lost in sin and headed down the path to hell. But because of God's love and because of salvation, we've been relieved from that burden. God said to those who obeyed the gospel in the new covenant, I'll be merciful to their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Hebrews 8, verses 12 and 13. Because of what Jesus did for me, I can have salvation. He Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Look at the beauty of God's scheme of redemption. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him from the beginning of time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, God has been planning, working, bringing together salvation. And friend, we are here. We in the New Testament age have the privilege of taking part in that salvation. So remind ourselves, let's be reminded, we have the blessing of being saved. Remember also, Peter says, that to receive this, like God, you've got to be holy, live a holy life. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice what the Bible says in verses 15 and 16. Peter says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written," Leviticus 11:44, "Be holy, for I am holy." Friend, when we think about things that constantly must weigh on our mind, things that motivate us and propel us, one of those is the challenge to be holy. And here's why it's something we must possess. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says this, "Without holiness, no one will see God." Habakkuk 1, verse 13 tells us, "God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and He cannot look upon wickedness." And so if God cannot look upon wickedness, if His Son has come to perfect us, and He has, we've got to do our best to live a holy life. Now, I understand as well as you that none of us, we're not saying today you've got to live perfect. Nobody's perfect. We all at times have fallen short, do fall short at times, but here's what holiness means. Holiness means that I'm going to try to walk in the light every day. 1 John 1, verse 7, "If I fall, I'm going to confess and I'm going to repent of my sin." 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, "And I'm going to try every day to be a sacrifice for Jesus." Paul said in Romans 12, 1, "I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And so be holy. That means don't get caught up in the things of the world. Don't get contaminated by sin again. Stay away from that lifestyle. Run from it if you have to. Do whatever it takes to remember to be holy every day. And friend, here's the motivation. The motivation for remembering these things, the motivation for being holy, I believe is based in that great eternal plan that God made for mankind. Notice 1 Peter 1, verses 19 and 20. Look at the beauty of these verses. The Bible says, "We were not redeemed with corruptible things," verse 18, "like silver or gold. Rather," verse 19, "with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." When I think about being holy, when I'm motivated to live for Jesus, what is it that challenges me? Before the first second on the time of clock had ticked, God had already begun to make a plan of salvation. 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 through 10, before the foundation of the world, God made that. Titus 1, verse 2, "We're living in hope of eternal life, which God who promised before time began." Before this world was even started, God knew He'd make man. In His divine wisdom, He knew man would sin, and God could have chosen not to do any of that. But He did anyway, and He already knew He would have to make a way of salvation for us. Friend, don't you see in that the eternal love of God?